This is the Texas Standard. I'm Lauren Silverman. Can a judge force you to get married? That's the question that's been buzzing online after a Smith County judge ordered a 21-year-old to marry his 19-year-old girlfriend after he assaulted her ex-boyfriend. But as strange as it may sound, this unorthodox sentence is just one of a handful of shaming-type sentences that have made headlines in the past few years. Joining me to discuss is Evan Young. He's an attorney with Baker Botts in Austin. Evan, I've heard jokes comparing marriage to prison, but a man sentenced to marriage?
Well, you'll certainly never hear me, or at least my wife will never hear me make that particular comparison.
Good.
But, you know, the reality is that this is one, as you say, of many types of sentences that a judge might try to impose. Why would he make someone who violates a noise ordinance listen to music that they hate, or make some guy who was abusing his kid sleep in a doghouse for a month, or banish somebody from a county, or sentence somebody to church, or to get married or not to get married, to associate with some people and stay away from others, to shovel manure, to clean a courthouse, to be sterilized?
Are all of those real examples you're listing?
These are all real examples of things that have happened in Texas, or at least in the United States. And some of them have been upheld, some of them have not. But I think really the key thing is most of them have never been challenged. So, to answer your question, we don't really know for sure exactly what a judge can do, because most of these are in relatively small cases. It's 15 days in jail or get married. Very likely, looking at the case law, if that condition had been challenged, a court of appeals probably would have been able to say, look, marriage is a fundamental right. We don't have the government telling people that they have to get married, or that they can't stay married, or they must stay married. Those are so deeply personal matters that are usually very unrelated to the offense and unrelated to the goals of the criminal justice system, which is to protect society, to deter people from committing a crime, and to rehabilitate a defendant. But on the other hand, some of those conditions that I've described, maybe they really do advance those goals. It might be legitimate to say to a father who made his son sleep in a 2x3 doghouse for a month, I'm going to make sure that you remember not to do this sort of thing again, and I'm going to have you have a dose of your own medicine. Putting that father into prison for a month, that could have been very destructive to the family's life, and the judge looked at the facts and decided that maybe it was more sensible to try something less extreme.
Now the terms of probation for this case, the one in Tyler in Smith County, also include reading Bible verses, I see. Unsurprisingly, there's been some backlash, and the Freedom from Religion Foundation said Friday that it's filed some complaints. What happens with those?
You do see examples where judges order, in this case, I think it was writing out a verse from Proverbs. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it a certain number of times.
It sounds like Bart Simpson writing on the chalkboard.
I think that if the judge sentences someone to write out something that's very specific to a religion, John 3:16 or something, you could say, well, wait, what does that really have to do with this particular offense? So I don't know how it will go out, whether this judge, overstepped or not, but it's not unusual to take those kinds of school-like approaches.
Is there any way to measure whether these types of punishments are effective?
It's very difficult, and I don't know of any study that has made much headway in determining whether or not these punishments are a better source of deterrence, say, than prison or fines might be. On the other hand, I think a number of judges have reasonably said, I know what's going to happen if I make this guy go to jail for a month or 6 weeks or even 2 weeks. They'll lose their job. They'll probably not be able to get another one for a while. Their family will slip into deeper poverty. He'll become more desperate, maybe reoffend, turn to theft, whatever. I'm going to try this out. And it's usually a first-time offense or someone who hasn't really had serious problems with the law. And so if things go bad, if this doesn't work, then there's always prison the next time if it gets to it. But judges are trying to say, what can I do that tries to achieve the goals of the justice system in these relatively small-stakes offenses? And hopefully we'll never see this person in court again.
One last question. Now, if he gets a divorce, does he go to prison?
I would be very surprised if he did. Here we had this young couple. They did it. They went ahead and got married. They're apparently not appealing this, so we'll never really know probably what the higher courts would say about this sentence. But let's hope that this works out. They've gotten married. let's hope that this is not a terrible thing that's happened to them, but something that they were going to do, and maybe not in ideal circumstances, but surely we can all give them our best wishes and hopes for the future.
We sure can. Evan Young is an attorney with Baker Botts in Austin. Evan, thank you so much for your time.
It's been a real pleasure.